Good morning once again, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So to put this scripture in a little bit of a better context, we'll finish the sentence. The 19th verse reads, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Our text describes a frightening spiritual condition. This is the prevailing condition of the enemy of God, the unredeemed, those who by reason of unbelief were not able to join in our chorus this morning, singing, "I'm redeemed." If you are described to a T this morning, that is you. And it is a frightening thing. The description is that of the enemy of God, unredeemed without Jesus Christ, and therefore separated from God, on the proverbial highway to hell. Maybe you believe in God and you have accepted by faith that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all your sins, that he rose again and that he lives forevermore, interceding on your behalf. Amen. If that is you, you do well, but be warned, lest you fall out of fellowship with the Redeemer because of indulgence in sin and abuse of the freedom in Christ that God has granted to you. God has granted you freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. Amen. Notwithstanding, you absolutely cannot lose your salvation once received. For as our Lord himself said, those who have believed upon his name have passed from death into life. And once that transaction has taken place, there is no passing back. Praise the Lord for that, because we would all turn away and go back if left to our own devices. If you are not careful to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, however, you will lose your peace and you will begin to reap what you sow. And God allows that for a purpose, that it may be that you will have enough sense to come back for him and to him to seek that blessed fellowship that you once had. We shall now work through our text as a progression. Our 5 points of the sermon this morning are all found right in God's Word. First, a futile mind. Second, darkened understanding. Third, the alienation from the life of God. Fourth, ignorance. And finally, fifth, blindness of heart. The futile mind. We are admonished in our text that we should, quote, no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. The futile mind is enmity against God. It is focused on worldly pleasure over and above what God says is right and what deep down we know is right. The futile mind wastes time thinking about and worrying about things that don't really matter in the long run. Though your name may have found its way to the newspaper, or on the internet, or on social media, right? Everybody wants to make a name for themselves. So they get their own page, right? And they call it by their name, that the world may know that they're important. And that's all fine and good as a communication tool. But when it becomes a source of identity, it becomes a problem. Our identity is to be in Jesus Christ the Lord. We may even have our name plastered on public buildings, but is it in the Lamb's Book of Life? The psalmist writes of such people who pursue things along the lines of the futility of their mind. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever. Their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of their posterity who approve their sayings. And then we have a musical pause for meditation in the psalm I just quoted, Selah. In other words, take a moment to think about that. What are you working for? What are you working towards in this life? What kind of a legacy are you going to leave? A lasting one? A one that really doesn't matter? And don't judge as man judges. Judge as the Lord would judge that. What do you think the Lord's answer to that question will be? Let us each answer that in our own minds. Second, darkened understanding. We have it in our text. Having their understanding darkened. Where do you get your wisdom? And where do you get your understanding? If you get it from anywhere other than the Lord Jesus Christ and God's Word and its applications, then according to the Bible, you have darkened understanding. Why in the world, then, would anyone seek elsewhere for wisdom? There's a million answers to that question. We've all come up with a few in our day. And we may be coming up with them now. Jesus tells us that the light has come into the world. And then he tells us what the prevailing response is. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Most folks love their sin too much to repent of it and to follow God. Why is it that you read so many pages of so many books, and you listen to and you watch so much garbage on the television or on the internet, but you spend so little time in the one book that matters the most? You spend so little time seeking wisdom from the one who has the most of it. If this describes you, if you are one who is lacking in that area, and we can certainly make the case that we're all lacking to some degree, whether little or much, in this area, then the result is predictable, darkened understanding. Our third point this morning, alienation from the life of God. What is an alien? Well, an alien could be one of those little green guys who comes down from outer space. But in the Bible, an alien is a foreigner. I don't really know how we know they're green. They could be orange. I don't know. I don't know that we know what color they are, but usually they're green in the movies anyway. So, I don't know. If you're like me, you just believe everything you see in the movies. An alien is a foreigner without Christ, a stranger from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. This is how the Bible describes somebody who is spiritually an alien, a spiritual foreigner. Now, there are even religious people who go through the motions. Sunday Christians. We may even have some of those here. You know if you're one. Who think little of Christ throughout the week. Are there any here who feel alienated from the life of God? Well, let's go to the source. Let's get some divine advice in the matter. And pray as the psalmist prays, saying, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. How's that for a prayer? A beautifully simple prayer. This is the very last verse of the very longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, the 176th verse. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. That's an acknowledgement that we've sinned. Lord, I've blown it this week. I've blown it today. I've blown it in that situation. There have been times where I haven't had enough sense to seek you, or I haven't done it as diligently as I ought. But Lord, seek me. Keep on seeking me. As one who seeks and saves the lost. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. Ignorance. Ignorance can be just not knowing the truth. We tend to think of ignorance as like a pejorative phrase. You know, when you call somebody ignorant, you're insulting them. But in the Bible, somebody who's ignorant could be just simple. Somebody who just doesn't understand because nobody ever told them or explained it to them properly. Micah speaks of those who do not know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand His counsel. This is why God sends us into the world saying, go. To preach the gospel of the Lord. To preach Christ crucified and risen. To preach that all who believe upon Him in faith will be saved without exception. But ignorance can also be a choice. I'd like to read to you from a passage in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John. It should be familiar to many of you. And I want you to pay attention to somebody who knows, who doesn't know much but knows, and to a bunch of other people who are ignorant, who do not know, who ought to have known. So they again called the man who was blind. Jesus, of course, had healed this blind man and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." And he answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know." He was ignorant of the fact that Jesus Christ was sinless up until that point. He only had that little bit of revelation that he'd received. "One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." And when they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen." You ever explain a very simple thing to somebody, a very spiritual truth, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to heaven? And you can explain it to them over and over again, and you might as well be banging your head up against a wall. "Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." And the man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes." One man knew the truth. And all these other guys who should have known better were truly ignorant in the deepest sense of the word. The blind man saw, but the prideful men do not know. You know, you can fool men with that line, "I don't know." But you're not fooling God. Finally, blindness of heart. It is out of the heart that all else proceeds. In Hebrew thinking, the pupil of the eye, which we have in the King James Version translated, the apple of the eye, which has come into our common vernacular today, was thought to be the reflection of the heart. Therefore, hopefully this shines a little light on your understanding of this particular passage. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now we also read in the Bible in another place that the issues of life spring from the heart. So when Jesus is speaking of the eye, the Hebrews understood that he was speaking of the heart. If your heart is without God, then it is dark. This is his point. And this morning, Jesus, the light of men, is seeking a home there. He will not force his way in as a thief, but behold, he is knocking. It may be that you will open and let him in. Your call. Consider now, if you have had enough of the futility of your mind, of your darkened understanding, of your alienation from the life of God, of your ignorance, of your blindness of heart. Now, if you've cleaned up what you could in your life so far, good. You've done well. But today, it's time for a spring cleaning. It's time to let God do a spring cleaning that will last for all eternity. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Accept the sacrifice of the only God and Savior. And when you do, know this, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And lo, He will be with you always. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the work that You've done in our lives thus far, at whatever place we're at. And we ask for Your help. In living lives more pleasing to You. We ask for Your help that we might not sin willfully so much as we do today. That when we do, that You will promptly call it to our attention. That we might immediately offer up a sacrifice of pride, and admit that we're sinners and that we need to repent. Lord, that our walk with You might be such, through our reading and study of the Scriptures and our prayer, that we will always have a short account with You, Lord God. And if there are any here in this place who feel alienated from the life of God, that he, that she, may receive and believe Your truth and know from this day forward that he or she is a child of God forevermore, something that can never be lost now and forever. Let every heart be challenged by these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.